seen before, so welcome. And a happy new year to everybody. A special welcome to my mom, who decided she would come and pay us a visit. And she's going to be staying for a few days. So feel free to greet her. Whatever she says, take it with a grain of salt. It isn't all true. I was a very good child. I was obedient. I was always strong in the faith. I've always loved Jesus. All the good stuff, right? Yes. And, you know, if she starts veering off in another direction and starts telling you something different, just pray and walk away. But it's New Year's, and I want to ask us a question, and I want us to really just think about, do we have expectations? Do we have expectations? Now, like, I think about myself, and I have expectations. I have expectations for my life. I have expectations for my career, my ministry, my business. I have expectations for my children. Interestingly enough, last night, William, he's like, oh my goodness, Daddy, what am I going to do? Like, I haven't done any of my homework. And I'm like, son, you've been opening presents and watching movies. Like, of course you haven't done any homework. But he has this expectation now that between tonight and all day tomorrow, because they have tomorrow off, that he's going to get his homework done. And I'm sure he will. But we have these expectations, and we teach our children. Those of us who are married, we have expectations for our marriage. When you first got married, you had these expectations. Some of them were false expectations. Some of them weren't quite exactly. They didn't bear out the things that you thought they would. But when you're young, you have expectations of having children when you get married. When you're old, you have expectations of retiring. You have expectations of love. And after a while, you have expectations that they just get away from you. You know, you just want your space. I mean, we have expectations, and those expectations will change from time to time. And, you know, people, and I talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, how people would do this thing where they'd have these New Year's resolutions, and they'd come up with a weight loss goal, or they'd come up with how they're going to budget, or they're going to get married in, you know, 2017. They have all these expectations, and yet, when we think about our walk with God and our spiritual lives, sometimes we fail to place expectations on it. We almost sometimes even treat it like it's somehow ungodly to have expectations for your spiritual life. Well, I don't want to put God in a box, and he may have something great he wants to. And it's like, do we expect to grow? Do we actually expect to grow spiritually? And getting back to the expectation thing, the title of the sermon is The Farmer and the Dell. How many of you all remember that nursery rhyme? Yeah, okay. Farmer and the Dell. And it's interesting because when we think about growth, there's a really interesting reason why I use this title. Because, now, you see this is a picture, it's an illustration of a book. Basically, it's The Farmer and the Dell. And everybody knows how it goes, you know. The farmer takes a wife, you know, and then the wife, you know, takes a child, and then you got this nurse, and one version of it, they have this cow, and then you have the dog, and then the dog takes the cat, and then the cat takes the mouse, and then the mouse takes the cheese, right? And at the very end of it, it says the cheese stands alone, right? Now, the reason why they taught this little nursery rhyme is a couple hundred years old, but the reason why they started teaching this was you had a much more agricultural society back then when they started teaching this. And so what they were doing is they were teaching children proper expectations and understanding of how society works. They were trying to help them to understand that this is kind of how the life cycle goes. You have this farmer that in order for him to have a farm, he had to have children. Well, you can't have children if you're a man without a woman, right? So the expectation was the farmer takes the wife, he has some children, but you can't have a child without the nurse or the midwife. So the nurse comes in, and then you know, the child has to be entertained, so you got the dog, and then this one version they had with the cow before the dog, and the reason why you had the cow is they were like, well, you know, you got to have milk for the kids in order for them to grow. You have this series of events that lead to production. And when we think about our spiritual lives, we think about what it means to grow spiritually and grow closer to God. Oftentimes we don't think of ourselves when it comes to expectations as God expects us to be productive. We know where it talks about be fruitful and multiply. But I want us to look in Luke chapter 13, and I want us to see a little bit about some growth opportunities that Jesus lays out. Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 1, says, now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. And then he continues, says, then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Now, we see this illustration here where he's talking about this fig tree that's not producing any fruit. But before that, I find it very interesting. He starts by pointing out about the Galileans. Now, I won't go too far into the details with this, but what he's basically pointing out is that back then there was this mentality that said that these people and the way that they were handled and the way that they were treated was a result of them being sinful, them doing something wrong. And so the idea of mixing their blood with the blood that was sacrificed and the terrible way in which they were killed, what was happening was people were saying, okay, well, they must have done something pretty terrible to be treated that way. And he's saying, do you think that they are worse than these other Galileans? He said, no. But you're just like them if you don't repent. So there's this comparison that we see where I'm looking at this person and they went out for New Year's and they drank themselves into a state where they couldn't even get up this morning, or they have a hangover, or they went out and they threw their money away. And as Christians, it's like, well, look at them, and if you compare yourself to them, and Jesus is saying, if you don't repent, you're going to suffer the same fate. Then after he makes sure to get their attention and points out to them how important repentance is, then he tells them the story about this fig tree to amplify what he means. And so we see here this fig tree, and it's interesting because I'll stop here for a second. How many of you all know what this is? This is Peppa Pig. Yes, I heard a grandmother just now. Peppa Pig, it's cartoon, it's on Nickelodeon, right? And Nick Jr. And interestingly enough, a couple weeks ago, as I was thinking through preparing this, my kids and I were driving down the road, and I have my tablet where I can like watch little videos and stuff. And we're watching Peppa Pig. Now, one of the things about Peppa Pig is they all have this nice little British accent, and this is the family, and you see these are the parents, and these are the grandparents, and these are all their little friends. This is Pepper right here. This is their little brother. And my kids aren't even awake. They can't even appreciate this. I just did this whole thing so I can see it. They ain't even there. Listen. All right, repent. But what's interesting about this is there was this one particular episode, and a lot of their episodes deal with growing things and planting things and farming and whatever. And there's this episode where the grandparents, the granddad comes, and they grow this strawberry plant, right? The strawberry plant. And it starts with this seed, and they put it in this little pot, and it starts to grow, and it sprouts, and then it goes, and then it goes, and then it gets the little branches and the shoots, and then it produces the little strawberries. Now, you see these two little strawberries. And they had this other episode, these are the blackberries. But what happens is, these strawberries come up, and they eat the strawberries, right? And so afterwards, the kids are looking at their grandparents, they're saying, so what's next? We just ate the strawberries. And they're like, is it going to grow any taller? Is it going to grow any bigger? Is it going to get any... And he said, no, it's going to, a little bit later, it's going to produce more fruit. Because that's what mature plants do. And when we think about this, I want us to flip over to Matthew chapter 21, because what we see here is another example that Jesus uses in talking about fig trees. Now, fig trees were something that was used a lot as an allegory or something that was synonymous with Israel. It was something that God often compared the people of Israel to. It was a fig tree. But in Matthew chapter 21, we see another example of using this fig and this fig tree. And in verse 18, starting there, it says, early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did a fig tree wither so quickly? They asked. Jesus replied, truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you receive what you ask for in prayer. Living trees have expectations. Now, true story, there was this dead tree that was out in front of a house I grew up in one time. My next door neighbor, he was a bodybuilder. He comes over, he would tell my dad, I think I told you guys this before, he would tell my dad, like, this tree is dead. And he told me this for a long time. And finally, one day, he goes out to the tree. Mr. Turner goes out, it's right near the curb, my mom will remember. He goes out to this tree, and he just pulls it up and lays it down. This tree, it's like probably 30, 40 feet tall. He just picks it up, pulls it out. Because it was dead, had no roots. It wasn't growing anything. Year after year, there were nothing growing on this tree. That's a dead tree. But living trees, we expect them to grow. I was thinking, she's not here today, I was thinking of like Pfeiffer Farms. Like, what would happen if like an entire orchard just didn't grow any? No fruits, no vegetables. Nothing grew from it. Like, what would happen to the business? There was an expectation here. And so that we get a little bit of context, this is a fig. Those are all figs, actually. But this one is really ripe. Now, there's different types of figs, depending on what part of the world you're growing the fig in. And there's different, you know, ways in which they look. But this is a fig, and those are figs also. But so that we understand what Jesus saw, and just understand a little bit about figs and fig trees, this is what Jesus saw from a distance. This is actually what he saw. Now, these are figs too. But if you're a couple hundred yards away, you may recognize the fig tree, but you may not know whether or not it's actually produced fruit. Now, one of the things that's interesting about fig trees is that most of them, the figs themselves grow first. Then the leaves come out. And so it's important to note that, because Jesus is thinking, if I see some leaves on a fig tree, well, then I fully expect for that fig tree to have some figs on it. So, because one of the things that was noted was that in this other, there's another account of this particular scripture in Luke where you see that they were saying it was out of season. And it's important to understand that, you know, figs can grow on trees early in a season. But the fact that he saw the leaves meant to him that there should be some figs on this tree. Now, when we think about growing, even when it comes to growing spiritually, many of us who have been following Christ for a long time, just like that fig tree, we're not necessarily going to grow any taller. And our branches aren't necessarily going to get any bigger or wider. But just like we were talking about with Peppa Pig that the grandfather was teaching the kids, but you should be producing fruit. And we have to ask ourselves, are we producing fruit? See, Jesus was so harsh in his treatment to this tree because there was an expectation that there would be fruit there. And again, going back here, because it's all about repentance, but going back and looking at this particular verse, he says, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you receive whatever you ask for in prayer. A lot of us, we have faith in a lot of things. We have expectations for a lot of things. We believe and have conviction in a lot of things. But do we believe that if we're going to be God's church, do we believe that if we're truly going to be disciples of Christ and follow him, that it's expected of us that we bear fruit? And some people we might even get into, well, what exactly does fruit constitute? What exactly does that mean? What does it mean to produce fruit? More than anything else, we have to have faith in whatever God's plan is for us. We have to have faith that we can produce. Because he didn't just say, I'm mad at this tree because I'm hungry. He was upset because there was an expectation. See, a lot of times as a church, or even as people who are walking and following Christ, kind of like this picture here with the leaves, from a distance, on paper, we look like a living tree. We look like we're mature. We look like we're growing. But then you get up close. You get close enough to be able to see some details. And there's no fruit. And he said, what we see in the other one, he said, year after year after year, this tree, 3 years this tree has produced nothing. I'm going to cut it down. Now Jesus, being the intercessor that he was, says no. Because that's what the allegory was. Give it another year. Let me give them another chance to repent. Let me give them another chance. Because for all the blessings and all the ways that God was there for his people, they hadn't produced. They weren't fruitful. Now see, the leaves would make you think that they were alive because they understood the law and they knew the law. But for 2017, it's time for us to ask, is this a year that we're finally going to produce? That we're actually going to bear some fruit. That we're actually going to grow in such a way that, see, we often think, well, how can another person know whether or not I'm bearing fruit? The same way you would know with a fig tree. Because once you get up close, you can see the fruit. You can see the way they're impacting others' lives. You can tell the other way. And here's the thing that's so beautiful about a fig tree, excuse me, is that, again, depending on the fig tree, some of them produce year-round. They'll have three or four different points of harvest. You have others, and this is true for any plant, that you have others that maybe they only produce one time a year. But it doesn't matter. Because you know whether they're alive or not, whether or not they're producing. You know, my kids, it's like, it feels like, it doesn't feel like it, it's true, that I buy, it feels like I'm buying them shoes like every other month, because they're actually growing to the point where, like, we had this coat, William had this coat, my wife said something to me when we're traveling to Kentucky to visit her family, she's like, he needs a new coat. I'm like, no, he doesn't. We just got him a coat. No, he needs a new coat. It's all the way up here, and you can see. And I'm thinking, man, see, that's that little tree. You know, that one that's growing still, still sprouting. But what about the tree that's been there for 10, 20, 30 years? See, at this point, if I grow out of something, it's going to grow out this way, you know? It's not going to be, I'm not getting any taller. If anything, I'm going to get shorter. It's not going to be, I'm going to get, even though I have lost some weight, thank you. But it's typically not going to be that we're going to lose weight. Typically, if we're going to get anything, we're going to get wider. We're going to get bigger. But it doesn't change the fact that we should still produce fruit. Mm-hmm. We should still be producing something. And for each person, see, because I can look out here, and I can look at somebody and say, okay, well, you know what? Leroy, he kind of looks like a orange tree, or you know, I see a pear tree over there. And, you know, the thing is, we can identify, especially, that's why I hate she's not here, but especially people who know what it's like to grow things, to have a big garden or big field full of vegetables and fruits, you know what you're looking at. You know what type of tree it is. My dad's actually pretty good at that. He can tell you what type of tree something is, but you don't know a tree's fruit until you get up close. And in order for us to live the life that Christ expects us to live, we have to be close enough to people. We have to engage with people. We've been talking for months now about personal relationships with one another, personal relationships with the law, personal relationship with God. We've been talking about these personal, intimate, close relationships. As close as we need to be, our question has to be, are we going to bear some fruit? Because the beauty in that story that we looked at in Luke chapter 13 is our intercessor is saying, no, give him one more chance. There's another opportunity. Let's just give it another year. Well, this is our year. 2017. This is the year of the Dover Church of Christ. I'm sure that all of you notice the sign out front, because I know that all of you do when you drive and pull in. That was sarcasm. But I put up, because I put up on the sign last night, Happy New Year, come grow with us. We have to be a church full of people who are growing, that's producing fruit. And so, I want to leave us here with a few questions. As we think about and pray about our growth strategy for 2017, our expectations. First point is, growth is not something that happens by accident. It's both intentional and purposeful. Do you plan to grow in 2017? And more specifically, do you plan on bearing fruit? Because we see here in Matthew 21, he says, if you have faith and do not doubt, there should be nothing stopping you from being able to grow and bear fruit. But it is not something that just accidentally happens. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. You don't just hang out. You have to plan. You have to pray about it. You have to have faith in it. It is intentional. It is something that you actually do. I started to do this. My wife didn't talk me out of it, but she frowned, so that was enough. But I had this whole overalls and boots and straw hat get up I was going to wear. I'm glad I didn't, because I would have embarrassed myself now. But we think about when we see that person come up in those overalls, and they come out there with that rake and that shovel, and they got their boots and their hat on. You farm boys know what I'm talking about. You know when it's time to get to work, especially in the summertime when you're out there and you're sweating. And then it's like all you got on is overalls because it's hot. But it's intentional that you go out and you work in the field. Nobody accidentally grows anything on a farm. You go out and you intend. You come up, you plant it. You plant it around the seasons. You plant it around the rain. You plant it around harvest time. You take out your credit from the local store in the local feed supply based on your expectation later on that year. We have to work as a church so that this time next year we can look back and see the harvest that God used us to be able to grow and work towards. Fruit is how growth is measured. What is the fruit that you produce in your life? We talked about this a second ago, but a lot of times it's important that we don't measure ourselves by one another. We saw that in Luke 13. We don't measure ourselves by other churches and what other people are doing, and this person who says this and this person who does that. We don't compare ourselves. Even with our own brothers and sisters, we have our own measure of faith. We have to look at ourselves and evaluate whether or not we're growing, whether or not we're producing, by looking at our own lives according to the scriptures. Because it's easy for me to say, well, I'm more fruitful than David here. Well, yeah, but what if God expected me to be so much more fruitful, but I didn't have the faith? But I didn't believe. All fruit-bearing plants produce at different rates, but all living plants are expected to produce fruit. And the question is, are we alive in Christ if we are not bearing fruit? If you can look back at your life for weeks, months, years, and say, you know what? I've borne no fruit. Then you have to ask yourself, am I alive in Christ? Because if you're not alive in Christ, and again, alive in Christ, understand that when it talks about this in different places, I'm thinking in particular Revelation, when he's talking to the church in Sardis, and he says, I know your reputation of being alive, but actually you're dead. He's saying, wake up. He's saying you're asleep. You're in deep sleep. You're in hibernation. We have to ask ourselves, are we alive in Christ if we're not producing fruit? Because we would expect this. Again, trust me. Pfeiffer Farm, believe me, Mary Catherine, she'll tell you, if there's no fruit there, there's going to be some problems. There'll be people fired. There'll be all kinds. We got to figure out what's wrong with the soil. We'll come in with all kinds of fertilizer and everything because there's an expectation that we have to grow. We have to produce some fruit here. We're all going to do it at different rates. We all got different obstacles to overcome. There are things, just like I said, there's those fig trees that three or four times a year you can go and you can pick figs, ripe figs from them, and then you have other ones that only produce one time. Depends on where it is. But what's important is not how many and that I compare it to the next man, but am I producing at all? Am I alive in Christ that he can use me? And finally, what will it take for this church to bear the fruit that God expects from us? And what will it take for you personally? We all want to look alive and we want to be alive. But more importantly, we want our lives to show that we're alive. We want our lives to show not for the next man, but for God. We want to show God that, yes, I'm that tree. I'm faithful. I'm committed. I can bear fruit. There's this strawberry plant. I'm going to talk about this in the future, but there was this one strawberry plant. I was studying this out again. Peppa Pig had a big effect on me. And they talked about, there was this article I read about it because it said there's these 10 different things. They said, if your plant, strawberry plant, is not producing fruit, that you need to check on. There's all these different things. And it's everything from the soil, you're watering it too much, you're feeding it too much, you're not feeding enough. There's all these different reasons why it is that we're not, these strawberry plants were not producing fruit. And it was saying, you got to check all these different things. And then finally, I guess this was kind of tongue-in-cheek at the very last one. It was like a bonus one. It said, and if none of these things work, then maybe you're just not very good at growing fruit. You know, gave all these different lists of things. But what I really want us to ask ourselves, and this is not like something that we're going to, you know, address and one by, you know, each person is going to say something, but I want you to walk away from here and think, what is it going to take for me personally to grow and be healthy and be strong and be faithful enough to bear fruit? Because see, this is an expectation. There's a lot, and I mentioned this, there's a lot of different stories, and it's just things we're going to look at, especially in the Old Testament, where God looks at the fig tree and he compares that to Israel. But there's a reason why I want to focus on Jesus' words today when it comes to bearing fruit. Because there's an expectation that often we miss. And it's a concern, but it needs to be an action point that this church takes. Where we say, you know what? We're going to be about the business of Christ, and therefore we're going to be about the business of growing and bearing fruit. And that's going to be our expectation. Do you have the faith to grow in 2017? Do you have the faith that is required and the faith that it takes to grow in 2017? This is where it all starts. You know, there's that passage where it says, you know, but we prophesied in your name and we drove out all these demons. We did all these miraculous and wonderful things for you. And he says that he's going to tell them, away from me, I never knew you. We don't want to live our lives being that tree with the leaves. And when it comes to me, our Creator, he says, away from me, I never knew you. All because we didn't have an intention and we weren't purposeful and we didn't make it our goal to grow and bear fruit. Are you someone, a person who needs to take a step back and say, in 2017, I've got to produce some fruit. I've got to grow. I've got to help my brother and my sister grow. Because collectively, for all of the wonderful things that God has blessed us with and all the wonderful people here in this church, we really do have to ask ourselves, have we made it our mission and our purpose to grow? If you're here today and you don't know what it means to grow spiritually, you don't know what it means to be connected with Christ, you've never been baptized, you've never accepted him, you never had your sins forgiven, I encourage you, make this your year. Make this your day. Make this your time. You come forward and you accept Christ. You get baptized. You get the forgiveness of your sins. You make this your year where you say, I'm going to grow spiritually. I'm going to produce fruit. Stand as we sing our song of invitation.